I got skills. The NFL's fastest man. I love this for my youth. Darryl Green every year, baby. The winner was Micah Parsons. He beat Tyreek Hill. The fastest man in the NFL is a linebacker. Wow. And I got skills tonight. Fountain face-off in the NHL. Let's go. Micah Parsons beating Tyreek Hill. Mike, you don't go to Las Vegas and beat the cheetah like that. The Winter Olympics. I say this every year. Out of nowhere. Where did it come from? Games started yesterday, which is actually today. Opening ceremony this morning, which will be shown tonight, which is actually tomorrow. As Olympics 2022 set to open, avoiding a disaster might be considered a success. LA Times' David Wharton writes from Beijing. I feel like that sentence has been said before every year. The athletes wind up winning you over as the games go on. But to point, other games have had logistical disaster fears, recently Sochi and Athens, and boycott fears. Maybe everyone has that. Sochi, Beijing, LA, Moscow. And COVID fears was just last year in Tokyo. But these games do take severity to a level entirely with genocide and human rights violations in the Tibet region and against Uyghurs in China. The International Olympic Committee chose Beijing while stating it is committed to human rights. Today's opening ceremony, which again you will see tonight, featured a lighting of the torch by two members of the Chinese Olympic team, one of which is Uyghur. J.A. Adane, as a fan and then as a reporter, how do you reconcile and join this competition while also considering everything I just said?
I think it's standard in sports right now. You have to have a cognitive dissonance. You need to compartmentalize. We've never had a more enjoyable NFL playoffs in this country, and we've never had more people watching the playoffs, and yet it goes on amid the ongoing allegations against Dan Snyder, owner of the Washington football team, and the continuous concussion concerns. And now the concerns about diversity and the allegations and the questions about competitive integrity, even all of that. And yet we're still enjoying the games. And who are we to criticize China's human rights records when we have ongoing attacks by the agents of the state against unarmed citizens? And we've got assaults on the voting rights of our people of color in various states in this country. So sports, I think it is possible and it's necessary more than ever to just shut everything out if you are to enjoy the actual games themselves.
I appreciate everything you just said there. You have covered five Olympic games, if I have that right, J.A.? Just to follow up here specifically on China here, we're talking about human rights violations, we're talking about genocide, and the IOC chose China, specifically said, yes, we will go there, while maintaining they are for human rights and things of that nature, and that sports can conquer that. How do you view it?
Well, again, where can you choose that that's free? And look at some of the other recent hosts of the games, including Russia and some other recent places. It's very hard to find a country that isn't problematic when it comes to human rights, including here. Remember, we had athletes boycott going to Mexico City because of the human rights issues in the United States in 1968, most notably Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I think we can bring attention to it. I think it's notable that we did have a Uyghur participant lighting the torch, and hopefully this will be used to bring attention to it rather than to continue to place these
issues. Woody Page, if I could bring you in. You've covered 14 Olympic games, correct? Does this feel different to you?
Yes. Not really, as it gets closer and closer, because having gone through it in, I'll give you an example, Sarajevo, that a couple of years after I covered the Winter Olympics in Sarajevo, most of the venues were destroyed by bombs. And we saw what became of that country. It went away. And at the time that I was there, we were dealing with the issues between the Soviet Union and the country of Yugoslavia. I can mention France and Spain, for instance, when the Spaniards and the Basque were having problems. So you have to, as a reporter or a fan, separate the two and say, as a reporter there, that you're writing that story alongside writing stories about the athletes. But the reason why I said I'm kind of getting into it, because last night I watched curling for a while. I watched the
ice dancing,
figure skating. Yeah. And I think that I felt that, like, we haven't been paying attention to it. overhanging it all is what's going on in the atrocities there in China. But I think that as the events play out, people are going to get more into the usual events that they like watching during the Olympics.
I appreciate the historical standpoint you've given, specifically on China again, Clinton Yates, and these games, and the position these athletes are in, and the position whether to boycott or not, and the position the Federation has made to say we choose China, knowing the human rights violations and the genocide.
Well, for one, there were only two options for them to choose from because nobody wants to host the Olympics anymore because, hello, the Olympics are just not a thing that is possible to do productively. That's the realism that we have to understand about what's going on here is that, I'm sorry, I don't reconcile it. I feel very guilty watching these games, and the only thing that I take from it are these athletes who have opportunities to do things that they wouldn't have to do, or rather that they didn't have an opportunity to do in other places. I think about the U.S. women's hockey team and various other athletes that do things that just don't exist outside of the Olympics. It doesn't feel good. I don't like it, and I don't love it. It doesn't mean that I have a problem with the athletes who are choosing to compete. It means I understand the geopolitical situation, that if you want to do this smart and sustainably and have these kind of things, you probably shouldn't have it at all. And that's the really tough pill that we've all got to swallow about what the Olympics and the Olympiads are overall.
And Monica McNutt.
Whoa, Yates, that is a lot to swallow. The only way that I can reconcile it is by the athletes. I mean, that is the way that I look at it and understand the opportunity that they have to achieve something that they've long worked their lives to. I also do think it challenges us about this idea of protest. Yes, Colin Kaepernick was at the forefront. Most recently, Brian Flores willing to tank his potential coaching future. But the sacrifice that really comes with this is weighty and heavy, and not everyone is willing to make it. And so that not only goes for the athletes, but that also goes for us as consumers.
Jay, I'll give you a last word here.
Well, Monica said the athletes do deserve this chance. And really, one of the problems is watching these games without any fans in the stands. Once again, it's very difficult. It's not enjoyable. But these athletes deserve the chance. And you wonder, what would boycott accomplish politically? What happened when we boycotted Russia in 1980, the Moscow Games? Did that accomplish anything politically? So should these athletes be denied what they've been working so hard for because of things that are beyond their control?
Woody Page.
Let me mention Australia here. Even in a country like that where you say, well, there's no problems, there were. During the Olympics, about the Aboriginals, and at the end of the Olympics, in the closing ceremony, a band got up and tore open their shirts and had "I'm sorry" on their chest. So it's gone on. Every time I've ever gone to Olympics where there is a sideshow and problems like we're seeing, not maybe to the point, the extent in China, but it's happened practically every Olympics, guys.
Thanks for your thoughts on that. We're going to move on. Jacksonville Jaguars hiring Doug Peterson as head coach. So what's become the most watched job hiring cycle in NFL history after Brian Flores' lawsuits? He's a coach with a Super Bowl 4 years ago. Go to the team with the worst record in the league and Trevor Lawrence. Clinton, how does Peterson go over and how does Peterson fit Jackson?
I think he fits relatively well. I don't think it goes over particularly well because of the situation with Flores, but this is the Jaguars. I mean, they interviewed 10 candidates. This guy was the only guy that they interviewed twice in person. They don't know what they're doing. They're searching for it. The last time he was on a sideline as a coach, they were pretty good. I've got to believe that this was basically a Trevor Lawrence pick, which is why it took so long. And if he likes it, then that's good for the franchise, regardless of what I happen to think about the overall hiring process with the NFL.
Monica McNutt.
The Trevor Lawrence thing is certainly digestible, but I was most curious about Leftwich flat out saying that he couldn't work with GM Trent Baalke. And then I just wondered what it would cost the Jags potentially if they really wanted Leftwich. I mean, I can't get into people's contracts, but beyond just hiring minority coaches, I want them to truly be empowered to be successful.
Jay Adonde.
We shouldn't hold the Jaguars accountable for what everyone else has done. You don't have to explain or excuse hiring a coach who's won a Super Bowl against Bill Belichick, who's won 42 NFL games as a head coach, which is almost four times the number of the other candidates, the other hires combined during this cycle. So I think it's perfectly understandable. They also interviewed three black candidates during this hiring process.
And Woody Page.
But Jay, this team came into existence in 1995. They've had nine coaches. Peterson is the ninth. During all that time, they've had a black coach for five games. Mel Tucker is now at Michigan State, stepped in after they made a firing. I think they had the opportunity here with Todd Bowles or with Leftwich or with Brian Flores or Eric Bieniemy to make a statement, to work with a young quarterback. All those guys have either had experience as offensive coordinators or head coaches themselves, and I think that would have been a great time, particularly in the last week or so of what's going on, to actually make a statement for the Jaguars.
There are seven franchises in the NFL I found reading up this week that have never had a black head coach. One thing that needs to be said, Jay, you alluded to it. The sentence, "I won a Super Bowl with Nick Foles as my quarterback while beating Bill Belichick and beating Tom Brady in a game he threw for 500 yards and four touchdowns." Maybe the greatest resume sentence of all time.
Exactly.
That's what Doug Peterson has. We'll move on. One more topic. NBA All-Star reserves. Here they are. What do you know the rules? If you want to snub someone in, you have to take someone out.
We've been doing this for about 20 years, Tony, and I think if you look back, I was right about 14 times.
I won't look back, but I'm going to take your word for it, Woody. There you go.
So I'm going to give you specific and be short about this. They got the wrong guy from the Bucks. Instead of Middleton, it should have been Holiday. Holiday is a much better defensive player. He was injured for a little bit. He's come back stronger than he was before he was injured. And I think he's having a better
year. You like that defense in an All-Star game? Okay. Clinton Yates, how about you?
Somebody's got to play it.
It's got to be LaMelo Ball to me. He's one of the most exciting players in the NBA. How is this guy not in the All-Star game? If I'm taking somebody out, I'm taking Tatum out. It's nothing against him. I'd just rather see the kid from Charlotte who throws all the lobs to Bobby
Bridges. All right, Bridges. So, but you played by the rules. Tatum, no disrespect, but I disrespect you. You're out of the game, and I want Ball in. Monica McNutt, who's in, who's out?
It's got to be Ant-Man in for the West. And honestly, I'm taking out Carl Anthony Towns or Rudy Gobert to get that guy in. By the way, Anthony Edwards, I'm still waiting for my invite to Lake Minnetonka. Tony,
what's going on here? What's that about?
For the vanity of being
from
right
Monica McNutt.
20 years.
Okay, so Anthony Edwards in, and you're taking out Gobert or Towns. And Don, how about you?
I'm with Clinton. LaMelo Ball, I mean, we're not trying to win games here. We're trying to put on a great show. Who's a better showman than LaMelo Ball? I'll put him in as an injury replacement for Kevin Durant. Is that too wimpy?
Here's what happens. You always have these snubs, and then a week later, someone else can't play, and then everybody else.
Do they think LeBron's going to play?
What? LeBron ain't playing. Monica, waiting for an invite for Lake Minnetonka. Anthony Edwards is a hilarious interview. I would love to see the two of you guys on camera somewhere.
Exactly.
For an interview. We'll be back. Fire yourself on the other side.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Arizona, UCLA, top 10 matchup last night. Big in the Pac-12, and it was tense. This week, it was a 76-66 Wildcat win, overshadowed by this video appearing to show UCLA redshirt freshman Mac Etienne looking towards Arizona fans who are gesturing at him. We blurted it out, so clearly it was something we can't air, maybe vulgar, and spitting in their direction. Etienne returned to the locker room with his team before University of Arizona police officers placed him under arrest for assault with, quote, the intent to injure, provoke, or insult another person. Clinton Yates, how does a spit come off to you, and how does an arrest come off to you?
It's a gross, boorish, and immature act. The arrest, however, seems overly performative. If I'm Mick Cronin and I'm coaching that team, after all they've dealt with this year in terms of COVID and man hours and then what they've not been able to play, that kid simply doesn't travel with me anymore. I understand that you were frustrated because you're injured, but you just can't do that on the road in front of other people if you're representing that
team. Woody Page?
They had lost the game. They were getting grief from the Arizona students. He's out for the year with a knee injury, and he acted in a frustrated, stupid act, just as all five of us did when we were in college. Being arrested is enough.
Okay, but is the arrest going too far, I guess I would ask? Adande.
Yeah, the arrest seems hasty. I mean, before we even had a chance for the school, the team, or the Pac-12 conference to do anything, to jump straight ahead to the arrest, you wonder if that's going to be a new standard, new precedent for player-fan altercations.
And Monica McNutt.
I do think the arrest was a little bit over the top, but I think the fact that we couldn't air whatever was going on in the crowd and there is video, Arizona also probably should step in. There's lines that fans shouldn't be crossing as well.
Buy or sell two. How many times did the lead change hands in the last minute last night at the Crypt? Reggie skip.
Six.
Westbrook's defense. Clippers over the Lakers. But because this is the Clippers, they can't have nice things. News today, Kawhi Leonard unlikely to play this season. The latest on Paul George, you know, is up in the air. A trade today for the team as well, trading Eric Bledsoe and Justice Winslow to Portland for Norman Powell and Robert Covington. Woody, buy or sell the last 24 hours here for this team, the Clippers?
I'm selling the fact that I can't get those 2 hours I spent watching that game last night and thinking that the Clippers had four guys on the court that didn't belong there. They got rid of them today. And they're waiting around for Godot and for Leonard to come back. Neither one of them are going to show up.
Okay, but that was a pretty good finish, right? Adande, half a dozen lead changes in the last minute.
Exactly. It was an exciting finish with guys that really probably didn't even belong in that game against the Lakers stars. And they're competing. Ty Lue is doing a great job. The fact that all this is hanging over them, they know they're not going to have their two stars. And they're still going out and trying their hardest is a lesson a lot of teams and maybe a lot of sports could learn from right about now.
Yes, they are trying their hardest, J.A., and we love to see it. I will say that maybe on some veteran chemistry, they do something unique. But in terms of being real contenders, I mean, I just think these guys are just competing because they're pros. They're not going to win anything.
Okay. I mean, I think 24 teams in the league are pretty sure they're not going to win anything. They beat the Lakers last night.
Whoop-dee-doo. So have the Thunder.
Okay, I get it. But, I mean, the Lakers like to think of themselves as contenders. Fans in Los Angeles like to think of the Lakers as contenders. Clinton Yates, you happened to be at this game last night, I understand.
I was there at this game, and fans in Los Angeles were not at this game, let me tell you that. And as a resident of Los Angeles, I will tell you that the two professional basketball teams in Los Angeles will not be relevant to what the NBA Finals is. This is a deck chairs on the Titanic situation, as Monica explained it, and I agree with that as well. Come on, guys, you guys aren't going anywhere.
They are the eighth seed right now, Monica. I know, we don't like to just sneeze at, I mean, they're in the playoffs. There's something to be said for that season, right?
There is, but in particular, the two teams in LA who have real championship aspirations, the Lakers as a brand, and the Clippers are what, maybe 2 years removed from being real contenders? Eight seems like.
Which franchise are you doing pre and post game for?
Hey, man, come on, move on.
The New York Knicks, this is what she says. Oh, okay, baby. We'll move on, absolutely. WNBA free agency, a bomb drop today. Tina Charles signing with the Phoenix Mercury. Rachel Galligan, Windsider reports, $108,000 for the season for the league's leading scorer, changing teams. Free agency, it's usual news itself. But the other news this week from the league, $75 million fundraiser. There's an entire checklist for what the money goes for, marketing, brand elevation, it says growth, outreach, some of the things highlighted. Does it make it to the players, though, and how much? Maybe a question you could ask after Liv Cambage this week reminded us players are still sitting and scrunching in coach on airplanes. Monica, maybe this isn't an answerable question, but how does the league prioritize where money goes when you hear so publicly from players they're still flying coach and some have to play in other leagues to make ends meet?
Player experience enhancement should be A1 on that list, Tony. I understand the interest in marketing and growing the league, but the fact is that the league got to 25 years of celebration with the fans and the audience that it has because of the sincere interest in the players. If the players are happy, the marketing will come, the viewership will grow.
Adande.
Yeah, $75 million for marketing when NBA stars are willing to go to games and wear the orange hoodie for free. Seems like you could spend that money on maybe some charter flights for the players so they're traveling in comfort and performing better.
The best way to market the league is to actually improve the quality of play and to have happy players who can play at the full extent of their ability and not be stuffed back in steerage on an airplane. My goodness.
Okay, and Clinton Yates.
God bless Liz Cambage for actually saying something. Any discussion about pay disparity is better than no discussion about it, which is where we are with the WNBA. The money's there. Give it to the players. Your product will be better. Trust us. We're the fans. We know that.
He's a Charles the Phoenix, Monica. I mean, that's loading up again. That team goes for it, huh?
Absolutely, and she has been on record that at this point in her career, she is chasing rings. That's a pretty good spot.
Clinton Yates, what are you wearing today? Let me see, what does that say on your shirt?
Arrows, baby, the video club. Shouts to all my 80s babies who know a little something about picking out cassette tapes from Marco.
Adonde Page, showdown next.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
I have a particular set of skills.
NHL skills competition tonight in Vegas. Shot accuracy has a blackjack theme. And then there's a fountain face-off world where turn on the fountains of the Bellagio and soak folks as they advance. Woody, which event are you more excited for?
I'm excited about the Bellagio event because after a long night that I had there, I ended up in that fountain in the water, and I'd like to see the hockey players achieve the same thing.
Yeah, Woody. It's definitely the Bellagio fountains, but it could be even cooler if they added the Claire de Lune music, like Ocean's 11, and instead of just having one
nice.
Female competitor,
both of you guys.
Ruth Davidson, have two female competitors.
That's great reference to Donde, but you know, Woody Page, he was actually in that scene. That's why he was there in the fountain. Those are Terry Benedict's casinos. We'll move on. NFL skills competition. This is fun. I love the quarterback throwing for points and the defensive back trying to stop the points like that. But the 40-yard dash, the Darryl Green Invitational. Tyreek Hill versus Micah Parsons versus Nick Chubb versus Trevon Diggs. And the winner was Micah Parsons. J.A., what does it tell you that we live in a world where a linebacker is the fastest man in the NFL?
It tells you quarterbacks aren't being paid enough. I know they're the highest paid players in the sport, but if you got linebackers running 4.39s, I weep for the QBs in the NFL.
J.A., the problem is get rid of the Pro Bowl and just have more skills competition and make this a 100-yard dash instead of 40.
I agree with you on that point, Woody Page. But when you run it with no shirt on. Micah Parsons is a beast. FaceTime Woody Page.
They already have that. It's the combine.
Mattress Mike is back at it. He's the furniture store owner in Houston. He crossed state lines, went into Louisiana, and made a bet on the Super Bowl on the Bengals at 4-point underdogs. He bet $4.5 million he could make $7.7 if he indeed wins. Good luck to
him. Mattress Mac. I think it's Magic Mike, Woody. Oh, we'll see you Monday.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.